into a joint, and you're like, oh, there's two coasters on my side. Clearly, I should just put my drinks all over these coasters and leave Mike nothing.
Well, yes. I'm assuming, though, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. I'm assuming you're a good host.
Ah.
And that you put out the appropriate number of coasters for me.
How the fuck would I know how many drinks you're going to have?
No, there's two coasters here. I assume you got two coasters over there. You do. You have makeshift coasters. You're fine.
Yeah, I am suffering. That cardboard Heineken there I got,
you know,
I found on the street.
Fuck you. Take it.
No, my drinks are all established. I don't want it now.
I'm going to put it on your head.
All right, do it.
There we go.
You know where I got this? I got this on a street in Brooklyn.
Okay. Well, maybe I should take it off your head. We don't know where that's been.
I mean, I have a pretty good idea.
In a bar.
On a street in Brooklyn. Probably in a bar before that. Ended up in some drunk guy's pocket.
All right. We got a couple of drinks here.
Yeah, we're going to get. I need this. I need this bad.
I'm favoring the bullet rye.
So I guess I'll try to figure out which one is which. I didn't see which one you put in which, so.
Ah, woo. A little stiff.
That's what she said.
Hmm.
I feel like that might be the bourbon. That's a tough call. Is this the rye and that's the bourbon?
No.
Backwards?
Yep.
Curses! Well, there's Saint Germain. I can't tell. The elderflower is fucking it all up. Hi!
I think it goes nicely with the rye, actually.
Yeah, I like the rye one more.
Yeah.
That's why I assumed it was bourbon.
Yeah, the bourbon. What kind of bourbon is that?
My favorite, Basil Hayden's.
Basil Hayden. It's a little too nice. It's a little too smooth for this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I apologize.
We didn't know.
I brought that bourbon all the way back from Texas for you.
You know what? It's an experiment, and this is all for science, so don't take it personally, jerk.
We're boozing for science, jerk face McGee.
All right, so you are...
Let's just do it over.
All right.
Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are...
S. Michael Smith, and you are...
And Michael Carassi, take two.
And we are drinking our drinky drinks. These are some manly drinks.
We are some very old-fashioned guys.
Even though they have elderflower in them.
Yeah, that's still manly. Herbaceousness is manly.
All right, but it's flower. Yeah.
It's Mike. It's 2017.
So these are old-fashions made with elderflower liqueur and a little bit of whatever orange bitter... Bitters.
And then one has bullet rye, the other has Basil Hayden bourbon.
Yeah, and I think the more, I guess, the more harsh rye, how would you call it? Is harsh not the right word?
I think with rye versus bourbon, harsh is probably not
a bad
descriptor.
It goes a little bit better, I think, with the sweetness of the elderflower liqueur.
I like how tingling someone's ball sack is sweet. That's your hand gesture for sweet.
Oh, it is. It is so sweet.
That's fair. I will not dock you for that.
Whereas the Basil Hayden's a little too nice and smooth for it. But not bad.
Poor Basil Hayden.
So, I need to make an update from something I said in the last podcast.
Are we going to talk about The Bad Place?
Yeah. We're going to talk about The Good Place.
Oh, that's right.
Which is the... It's NBC, and it's Ted Danson, Kristen Bell, and a bunch of other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned it. I was about not quite halfway through last time we casted, and I was like, yeah, it's pretty interesting, and I'm going with it. I'm kind of iffy on some of the stuff. I finished the season.
And you texted us. You texted us and said...
I've changed my recommendation from I kind of like it to, oh my God, you have to watch this. I had some qualms with some of the stuff in the first few episodes, and those qualms were retroactively nullified by the time I got to the end of the series.
That's really cool. That's a good sign that a show will intentionally lead you down the path of thinking it's one thing and then totally subverting that. That I like a lot.
So
I feel like you had a funny way of saying this. I'm trying to find it, but you guys, we text too much.
I'm sorry. I barely text at all. This is you.
No, this is our wives. I don't, you don't put me in the same texting.
Well, don't
quantity.
Put me in the same texting boat either.
That's fair.
We should just text ourselves. You know, for important stuff.
Like podcasting and drinking. Yeah. That's really the extent of our sidebar and hangouts is booze. Who owns booze that night and if we're podcasting.
Anyway, and it's not just me making this recommendation. It's been getting a lot of buzz, especially since the season finale. It has been renewed for a second season. So jump in. There's no worry that you're going to be left
holding the bag.
Yeah. I mentioned that they've done a lot. They brought Lindelof. How do you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
Whatever. Lost guy.
I think it's David Lindelof.
Lindelof. So one of the main guys from Lost, like probably the main writer.
He's like a punch up writer.
Okay.
He like pops up in all sorts of like cool trendy shit. Mm-hmm. Like, and you're just like, why is he everywhere? Because he bring him in, he's like, we need that Lindelof touch. And yeah, I'm also doing the ball sack.
You're doing two. You got two sacks going.
Yeah, because that's Lindelof's touch. He fucking two-hands it. This is opening a Misty Beethoven style. Yeah, that's right. I just referenced vintage porn.
Anyway, they have losted it up quite a bit, I think.
Is this a fucking tie-in? Is this a tie-in to Lost? God damn it. Are they in the hatch?
I don't know.
Are they in the hatch?
I don't know yet. It's only the first season.
Ow. Yeah, there'll be more of that.
Ah, good. You're such a mean drunk, Mike Rossi.
I really am. Sometimes I wonder if I, in college, if I had slept more and drank less, if I wouldn't have been such an asshole. Or if it was just a necessary part of being such a like naive, nice person in high school. Like, I needed to come out of my shell.
So what flipped your switch there?
To which side?
Well, okay. You said you were a nice, naive person in high school.
Yeah.
And you were a mean, nasty drunk in college.
I was more a sleep-deprived, semi-drunken asshole in college, which worked for me in a lot of ways.
So what flipped your switch, man? What sent you on the path to the dark side?
So in high school, I wanted to be a forest ranger because I read a ton of Dungeons and Dragons novels and my hero, Drizzt Do'Urden.
Oh my God. They're not that kind of ranger.
Yeah, but
they're not.
Yeah, but that's he not was.
What real forest rangers are. No.
But he lived in the woods and communed with animals and he was a drow elf. It was tragic and interesting.
Okay.
I was a naive, lame kid.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be a forest ranger, and I was looking at Paul Smith's and Environmental School of Forestry in Syracuse. Those are my top picks. And then right towards the end, when I had to actually pick a college, I kind of had a breakdown. I remember being in my guidance counselor's office crying, and I was like, I don't want to live in the woods. And he's like, totally didn't know what to do with like this blubbering like nerd in his office. I remember him just looking at me like, what?
I'm giving you the same sort of look right now.
I don't want to live in the woods.
You don't have to live in the forest, Michael. It's okay.
I did.
You can be something that's not forest related.
Pretty much anything.
Pretty much anything.
Is not
almost
forest related.
Anything you could do is not going to require you to live in a forest.
Yeah. Well, you know, I couldn't see the forest for the trees. Okay, you know what?
You deserved that one.
Yeah, I can't.
You earned it.
I will not complain about that one. In fact, I really won't complain about that one.
Ooh.
Brought to you by sadomasochism. So,
So you were upset. Your dream had been somehow shattered.
Like, more like a fantasy. Like, I wasn't in touch with reality kind of fantasy. Like, okay. Yeah, I'm going to use Dungeons and Dragons novels as my life's fucking guide and compass. And luckily, I came to my senses.
Some people do, man. Some people
Yeah,
do.
Well, luckily, I don't anymore.
Anymore.
So, he's like...
Not after that Deities and Dummy Gods incident. Oh, boy.
Deities and Dummy Gods?
Deities and Dummy Gods.
I heard Dummy Gods, and I really want to read that book.
Dummy Gods?
Deities and Dummy Gods.
Dummy Gods.
Zeus, I'm a dummy god.
That must be even before your time. The whole, all the classic D&D... manuals, the hardcover books.
Well, I'm talking demigods, novels.
The Fiend Folio. These are like references.
Were they all alliterative?
Yeah, I think so. Monster Manual, I think, was
one of them. Yeah, I remember Monster Manual. I have in here, mm-hmm. second edition, Player's Handbook, Dungeon Master's Guide.
Dungeon Master's, okay, those two weren't, yeah.
They weren't alliterative. And I have a couple of, like, Forgotten Realms adventures. I really was into Forgotten Realms because of the Driz Doerden character. I don't know. I started to come out of my shell a little bit. Like, our senior class kind of got a little friendlier. I was friends with the class below me. They were nicer. We had a lot of, like, complete jerks in our high school class. And it wasn't the smartest high school class either. Like, I looked at the difference. Anyway, so he kind of looked at me, my guidance counselor, and he's like, well, your grades are really good. You could probably go to, like, Binghamton or Geneseo. And I was like, mm-hmm. all right, I'll just apply it anywhere. So I got accepted to most of them, and I just ended up at Geneseo.
So you didn't really give a shit where you were going.
I just didn't want to live in the woods. Not Paul Smith's, not ESF. That's what I knew at that point. And there was a girl I liked from high school. God, I don't know why. She went to Geneseo. And
you don't know,
like,
why you liked her?
Oh, yeah. No clue.
Why? What, she was, a was she not?
Awful person.
Whoa.
She chased her friend around with a knife.
Okay.
She was a little crazy.
Was she hot, though?
No.
Oh.
She was smart.
She was smart. Okay, so there's something there.
Yeah, but she was never into me.
Yeah.
Never
that's,
once into
that's
me.
That's probably part of it.
Probably.
You wanted that
I was that.
Fruit.
Well, I was that sad puppy.
Crazy fruit.
But I was the sad puppy kind of guy. You know what I mean? Like, I remember.
Okay, so she was the forbidden fruit, yet still within your fantasy, not maybe quite fantasy, realm of attainability.
Sure. I guess.
Like, yeah, she's out there. I don't really have a chance, but I might actually have a chance.
It wasn't. I don't know, dude. I don't even remember. I'm such a different person now. I can't even pinpoint the exact. I do remember driving around in my car listening to, like, emo 90s music. Like, driving by her house. You know, like, all the stupid shit you do as a kid.
Like what? Okay. Give me some tunes.
Oh, Live, Better Than Ezra, Tonic. That's all I was. I had terrible music taste in high school and college. I freely admit that. But back then, driving around in my shit can Plymouth Sundance, 89 Plymouth Sundance, listening to shitty CDs, like, that was it, dude. That was the pinnacle of ennui right there. you're 17, 18, right? You don't even fucking know better. Yeah. So I got to college, and, like, I always say, I walked into the theater department and walked out 4 years later. You know, like, once I went in, I was like, oh, and that's when I realized, like, oh, I can fucking change who I am.
So you'd never done theater before?
I did a little bit in high school. Couldn't get any big parts. Wasn't good, you know, just was a bit player on the side kind of stuff. But yeah, I got the itch. It was my way of realizing.
And that's the thing,
like,
when you get to college, theater is like, when you're in high school, there's like two productions a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough to get into them. Once you get into
Guys
college,
and Dolls, though, Arsenic and Old Lace.
Yeah. Once you get into college, it's like everybody's having auditions for their own little stupid one act play or whatever the fuck. And you can get whatever parts you know.
Well, being a guy at Geneseo,
it's raining parts.
I always say it was a 7-to-1 girl to guy ratio because that's what I remember. My wife denies that, being a year below me. It could be that Brody, the theater building, had that ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, like, so rare to be a guy in the theater department. And being a straight guy was even rarer.
Right.
So, yeah, there was a lot of parts for me to play.
Right.
And I got some cool parts. I mean, Stoppard and Hotel Baltimore. There was some cool parts that I thought I did a good job in. I don't think I really did. No one else seemed to think I did. playing, I think, Bradley in Buried Child. That was the pinnacle of my... That's when I actually, like, cried on stage once.
Wow. And he was the guy with one leg,
yeah.
Right?
And yeah, we talked
about
this.
He was the asshole.
He was a complete asshole. He was perfect fit. I don't even think I had to audition. Someone was like, Mike, Bradley. Perfect. But yeah, so I realized what it was me realizing, like, I didn't have much of a childhood. My mom kicked my father out and I became an adult around the age of like 13. And so, like, my mom worked overnights. And so I was the adult of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from that point on, I was figuring out how to fix shit, like plumbing in the house. Like, you know, I grew up so fast. I suddenly was like, oh, I can have a childhood. I had a shit ton of money because I had somehow gotten all these scholarships to overlap. And so it was like I had my childhood. I had like a upper middle class childhood, even though I came from a dirt poor family. I even sent money home. I was like, Mom, I got so much money here, take it. Yeah, so that's the switch got it flipped. It's like mm-hmm. a mix of theater coming out of my shell, having some money, realizing that being an asshole, being the ass of the group, like, got attention, you know. And then I got an improv. It all happened all them. It was the perfect fucking asshole storm. Like, you know that scene in Legion where he's in the kitchen and all the kitchen shit's flying around him? Just imagine anuses flying around him.
That's oh my God, the perfect you just asshole. Segued.
You like that?
You segued into like Legion.
That? Yeah. Oh. That's how you segue, motherfucker. Slick. Thank
very,
you.
Very asshole-y. So,
slick,
that was...
Slick, wet asshole?
So, we should talk about Legion now.
We should probably talk about Legion.
All right. So, this is... What do we want to start with? What universe this is? Because it's really
if you don't
fucking
know,
confusing.
If you don't know what Legion is, stop the podcast. As always,
we can talk a little bit about it first, and then like give them the full stop.
Well, I was gonna say go fucking watch it because it's brilliant.
Okay,
it's an hour and a half long pilot, super high budget, super well done.
It's on FX.
FX, yep, on demand
is
now.
A Fox network, I mm-hmm. guess. And it's a Fox property because it's in the mutant. I guess X-Men universe.
It is absolutely in the X-Men universe. Yes. Absolutely X-Men.
Because Fox has mutants.
Right. And Marvel doesn't.
Marvel doesn't.
So Marvel is...
Can't say the M word in the
Marvel is heavily investing in the Inhumans thing with S.H.I.E.L.D. because that's going to launch their next properties in 5 years. Because they're like, we need new superpowered... We need a natively superpowered group. How do we get this? Let's pick something really random that no one remembers. Oh, Inhumans. There we go. They're like mutants, but not. Fuck you, Fox. Fox is doing a great job with their properties, although they did do Deadpool.
Right. And now they're doing Legion.
Yes.
As a TV show.
And, yep.
And, you know, there was some skepticism about that early
on. I don't, really?
I was skeptical about it. I was like, really?
Did you see the early trailer?
No.
Oh, I saw the trailer and my jaw dropped. It was like, oh, wow.
Just the idea of trying to do Legion as a TV show. Like,
but it makes perfect sense.
Kind of crazy to me.
Well, there you go. I mean, so first of all, the actor is amazing. So that actor played, if anyone knows Downton Abbey, he was the one who played Matthew, who was probably the most beloved character of that show. And he, like, randomly left the show under kind of hilariously bad circumstances because he had gotten a gig on Broadway. So they're like, we need to get you off the show. Obviously very good actor, right? Went from Downton Abbey to Broadway to this. Does an almost perfect American accent. And he doesn't do the cheaty thing where he does like Southern or Brooklyn or gravelly.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three cheats.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't do any of those. He does a genuine, earnest.
No cowboy accent.
Nothing. None of that. This is what I can do to hide my British. So great actor. Great cast. Really, really enjoyed what I saw so far. I mean, what's Aubrey Plaza as his drug addict friend was, she was very entertaining.
Yeah, I liked her. I'm glad that she's, well, okay. Anyway. Start spoiling.
Okay, you know what? I have an idea. Let's do something different. Let's
okay.
do degrees.
Are we getting, spoil it?
Let's do 6 degrees of spoilification.
What?
So we're going to have to time ourselves.
Okay.
So we can do extreme spoilers for about 10 seconds.
Okay.
And then do lesser spoilers for more time.
All right.
Because there's stuff that Erica doesn't know that even you don't know that I want to spoil for you because that's our friendship. But you may know now, but I don't want other people to know. So you need to count to 10.
You've got like high level spoily stuff because you know the actual character history.
Yes.
In the comics.
Yes. And it may not happen.
Right. It may not happen. They may not go.
It isn't that important, but at the same time, there is definitely some stuff carrying over from the comic.
Okay.
So, okay. Super spoilery. So we're going to do 10 seconds of super spoilery. When I say go, just skip forward 10 seconds on the scrub bar if you don't want extremely canon-specific stuff.
All right, so I'll count you off 10 seconds.
Okay, and go. Legion is Professor X's son, illegitimate son, and he is the most powerful mutant on the planet, and his power is absorbing everyone's personality ever meets, and they each get a bit of his power.
And there you go. We're back.
Did you know any of that?
Not really, no.
So that's the time.
I knew, like, sort of generally what his deal mm-hmm. was, but not... I didn't get deep enough into the comics to get all the specifics of it.
He's
a weird character. I mean, even the comics, he's like, this is one of your like most non-traditional, I guess you call him a hero because he's...
No, he's an anti-hero.
Okay.
Yeah, he's totally an anti-hero. By literally by the nature of his powers, he's an anti-hero.
All right.
Okay, ready for a 20-second lesser spoiler?
Oh, my gosh. We're beating people up here. All right.
Okay, so now skip forward 20 seconds starting now. If you don't want this ruined, I mean, if you want this shit ruined, just fucking listen. I really just enjoy messing with Smike because he's like fucking jerking off the air right now trying to count. Wait, no, I have more to say. All right, go. So his power, they apparently are not putting him in the movies because he alters reality, which I think they're doing in the show. So he would break the continuity of all the X-Men movies. So if you notice, there's this weird 50s mod thing going on, but then they have flat screen televisions and modern weaponry. So they're very clearly doing that aspect of it. Welcome back.
Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, weird character.
Yeah, and that's what you said is part of why it seemed crazy to me to try to do a show around this thing.
But that makes perfect sense. So, all right, let's have a point-counterpoint. Trying to be as vague as possible about it. Why does it not make sense?
Because it can screw with so much of the other properties. Because it can... It's super hard to tie in.
Point. Counterpoint. That's exactly what Marvel is doing with S.H.I.E.L.D. To not fuck with the other properties. It can tie in where they want, but not change the continuity because it's the TV universe rather than the movie universe.
All right.
Next point. That's it?
Yeah, that's all I got.
To me, it makes perfect sense because due to the complexity of the character, a TV show makes a lot more sense because they can really explore it in a way that you can't do with a movie.
So to be non-spoily now,
mm-hmm.
His character is actually pretty nice. I mean,
yeah,
compared to what you would expect from...
Well, not like Deadpool, right?
Right.
Like Deadpool is the traditional or the super anti-hero.
Yeah.
You root for him, but he's a utter dick and a sociopath.
Yes. This character is very sympathetic.
He's earnest. He's likable. He is also a little lost puppy. Probably wants to go to Paul Smith's or ESF.
So talking about the show in general, without spoiling anything.
So we're not going to spoil anything now.
Yeah. So they do a lot of neat stuff. They got a lot of really interesting camera effects and angles and things.
The cinematography is really great. The special effects are heads and shoulders above most television shows, especially network shows.
Yeah.
Now, I think they probably...
There were some really disturbing scenes in this, too.
Disturbing, off-putting. Like, yeah.
you know what scene I was just miming there.
I don't know. Could you do it again?
I don't know if I got the expression right, but you know what I mean. Yeah. I'm really curious to see where they go with this. Some of the stuff towards the end got a little bit cheesy. Some of the CGI effects got a little...
Okay, but it's network television, so it's like...
Yeah.
What their cheesy was good for most shows. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, some of the stuff is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the kitchen scene is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The scene towards the end with the guy at the... flicking.
Yeah, that was a little much.
Yeah, but it was still fun.
Yeah,
see,
okay.
You get a pass with me.
I was laughing at it.
Right. I mean, but it was just
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be laughing at it. I mean, I think this is supposed to be funny because it sure looks funny.
I don't think you're supposed to look at that and be like, I am very intrigued and deeply impressed with the powers and the way that... No, it is... It's a dude with a ridiculously... He's ridiculously overpowered and doing very... What amounts to cartoony stuff. Which, yes. By the way, is funny even in live action, as it turns out. Even though you think it's really not.
So anyway, two big thumbs up for Legion.
Mm-hmm.
I think four because the wives also enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah. Although, I don't know why we each only have one thumb. Can you explain that? Did we all lose a thumb in the war?
You're allowed one thumb each.
Oh, I think you have to establish that.
Well, I thought that was obvious.
In a world where everyone only has one thumb. One man will create a rating system to cater to that. That man is S. Michael Smith. One thumb.
All right, come on. That's like internet standard. When you go onto Facebook, you want to upvote something. You get one upvote. You get one thumb. You don't get two.
I'm fucking with you. It's Mike, I've been drinking. I'm an asshole now.
Yeah, well, I've been drinking too. So I can be an asshole right back at you.
You're not. You're just being defensive.
Is that not part of being an asshole?
What? No. Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Which is it? Which is it? Come
on. Yes. It's both.
All right, so what else have we got? Have not seen it yet, but I'm definitely planning to go watch the Bat the Lego Batman movie in theaters this this coming weekend.
I'm sure it's going to get good reviews.
It is already getting, yeah, it's getting great reviews. I really want to see it. I love the Lego movie.
It was very funny.
Yes.
New director pages.
And yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I don't know. I don't have anything else to say about it.
We still have the second half of season 1 of Ash vs. Evil Dead. We're almost through the DVR, so we're very much looking forward to that.
Still going strong.
I mean, better. Well, we went pretty strong through the first disc, mm-hmm. and then we had a movie in between.
So I mean, as far as the episodes themselves.
We haven't started the second half, but it was going great.
Okay.
And we were very much enjoying it. They were setting stuff up. Like
Lucy, so it wasn't like a deal where the first episode that we saw together was like great, and then the rest of it was just kind of like petering out.
It's building. Good. Lucy Lawless, her character's been not explained, but she's got a bigger character now, and there's an arc to it, and... You know, it's like a kind of a road trip, which it was obviously going to be. But it's got that road trip kind of buddy comedy thing mm-hmm. going on. I had a really fun nerd dad moment yesterday.
Uh-oh. We're getting into dad territory
here. Well, nerd dad.
Yeah, all right.
So Simon has every color lightsaber.
Lightsaber.
Every color lightsaber imaginable.
Have another drink, asshole.
All I'm saying is flying asshole.
So he's got lots of different colors.
So he has the Jedi Knight and Jedi Consular blue and green, but mm-hmm. and then he has purple because we got that in Disney.
Okay, which does anybody actually have a purple light? Yes. Lightsaber?
One badass motherfucker does.
Oh, is it Mace Windu?
Very good.
Yeah.
And he has Darth Vader red for daddy. Okay. He always makes me use the red lightsaber.
All right. Is he like clear on... I'm always curious about how much he actually understands about the stories and the relationships.
Well, he knows that only bad guys have red lightsabers. He's pretty perceptive there. I didn't have to teach him that.
So he's pegged you as a bad guy.
Well,
I'm the bad guy.
Well, I'm his father. He understands that Darth Vader is Luke's father.
He does. He gets that. I was wondering about that part.
Well, we have like 15 different Star Wars books that explain it. So, yeah, he's gotten it now. We have Darth Vader and Son, and we have the Star Wars stolen books. Yeah,
Darth Vader.
No, he gets it.
So he's like, Darth Vader's kind of bad, but not really because he's my dad.
Yeah, well, it's also confusing. It's like the Stormtroopers are good in the cartoon thing. Like, once you get into the prequels, everything gets confusing. Yeah,
the Stormtroopers are good in Clone Wars.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah, no, they're good. Yeah. I mean, they're soldiers, but they're not bad. But I mean, like, Anakin's good for most of, you know, the prequel stuff, right? So, and we haven't shown him when he turns bad because that's a little traumatizing. And then Anakin lost his arms and legs and became a quadriplegic. The end. he has a pretty firm grasp, although we were forced. So what I've taught him is force lightning is just tickling. So we had a force lightning fight tonight where we were just tickling each other. So he goes, psh, with his fingers out, but then he goes, tickle, 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 tickle. It's really cute. Anyway, he has a purple lightsaber, a light up purple, light up sounds, purple lightsaber, green lightsaber, red lightsaber. He has my cheapo costume blue lightsaber. It's the first one I gave him.
Mm-hmm.
So for a year, he's been saying, like dropping hints as only a toddler, you know, child can. He's like, really wish I had a light up blue lightsaber.
My gosh.
I know, it's ridiculous. And then he got an orange pool noodle lightsaber.
An orange what?
I said it very badly. Pool noodle lightsaber. He went to a Star Wars birthday party.
So it's a styrofoam
thing. Which he loves, because you saw him nail me in the face out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that. It's like, holy shit. But he knows he can hit things with it, and it's okay, because it's a pool noodle. Not so much hitting daddy. we're kind of figuring that out. He doesn't do it at daycare. It's really just me. He doesn't hit Erica. It's just me. And I'm like, all right, well, I roughhouse with him. So all he's wanted is a light up blue lightsaber, because not only does Luke have it, but Anakin has it, because it's the same lightsaber, and Obi-Wan has a blue one. So he's like, and he really likes Obi-Wan, the Clone Wars. He's like, I just really want a light up blue lightsaber. So they, Target got rid of, like, they needed to downsize all their Star Wars stuff. They demoted it to not a full aisle.
Whoa.
I know.
What?
It's been like that for two years.
OMG.
What were they thinking? Madness. Well, Rogue One came out and they were like, fuck it, we're done. So they had these like weird kits, like non-movie kits, where it's like multiple lightsabers you connect and make like all these customized things.
Right.
So I've been wanting to get it for him because they came with a blue lightsaber and two small green ones.
And they all light up.
Yeah. And the blue one makes noise. And it has all these attachments, so you can make like a ridiculous like Conan the Barbarian sword out of it. So it makes no sense. Very unwieldy. So I bought it for $15. It went down from 50 to 15 on clearance. Okay, and I bought it and I sat on it for a couple months. So I'm pretty proud of myself.
All right. So this is like a problem you guys have been having. Maybe not a problem, but the thing is that your son is how old is he now? He's going
just
on,
turned three.
He just turned three. He's got a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
you he's know, a middle class child and an only child and the only grandson on like every side of the family.
Right. So everybody's buying him stuff.
And we asked people and like,
us included,
yeah,
you know.
Yep. You did buy him a 4 foot tall stormtrooper.
Which we cleared with you.
I told you to buy it.
Okay, yeah.
No, he loves blasting that thing.
He does? Still? Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. I was worried that was gonna be something like he was like amused with for a day and then like ignored for
he's gonna come back to it when he's older and appreciates it more, but the motion detector works when he's in the bounce house.
Oh.
So it's like a nonstop laser battle.
Okay. So upshot of this is everybody's been buying him shit, and honestly, we didn't buy him anything for his birthday this
and
year.
And that's fine.
We're that was kind of coming from you guys.
Yeah.
We got the idea that there's too much shit for this kid.
We threw him a big birthday party at the indoor playground place. We're like, he's getting a lot of presents. Don't worry about it. He bought a fancy stormtrooper. So what we did for his birthday is we took about half his presents and they're in the basement here. Unopened. He was like so, and also his birthday comes right after Christmas.
Yeah, right.
Enough time so that people buy him two presents, one for Christmas, one for his birthday. So he's lucky he doesn't get shafted that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, he doesn't appreciate all the shit he's getting because it's too much.
Right.
And he's genuinely not a spoiled kid. Like, we really try. Despite the adversity.
That will remain to be seen, but I'll take your word for it for now.
Thank you. go fuck yourself. But I had been sitting on this, so I had this lightsaber set I knew he was going to love, but I didn't want to like give it to him when all this other shit was sitting there.
Right.
But the thing is, I'm afraid like he's just going to lose interest in Star Wars and then he's not going to give a shit about this thing. And I will miss the window.
That's a possibility.
It's totally, I mean, a year from now, he might not give a shit about Star Wars.
Is that like your greatest fear?
No. He'll
suddenly wake up and like, I don't like Star Wars.
No, it's fine. Like then Star I could watch shit without him. It'd be great. I have to cheat on, Netflix cheating. I have to Netflix cheat on him with the Clone Wars because it's going off of Netflix in less than a month. I got to finish that shit.
And is it getting just too dark for him now?
It's going to get dark soon. It got too political, which is precursing the dark stuff. And he lost interest. Right. So he watches exactly two episodes over and over again. They're his favorite ones. Anyway, he was having a really rough day. We didn't know he was going to have the earache thing, but he was having a rough day. And
you didn't know he was going to have an earache? What is wrong with you?
I know, right?
Why are you terrible not on parents top of this stuff?
Terrible parents.
It should be on your schedule. Earache.
You have a fever or anything. It's just like
5 days.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Gotta, you can have Google put that on your calendar.
Can I? Not Google Home. Fucking Google Home. He went to a birthday party 2 days ago and played laser tag for the first time. So he's all about laser blasters again. By the way, disturbingly good at laser tag.
What?
No 3-year-old should be quite that good at
hitting targets.
No, seriously,
he's 3. Yeah, he shouldn't.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be really
able to
aim very well.
Well, what he did was he held it stationary without really moving it, and then just kind of like turned his body because there's smoke, so he can see where the laser blast goes. The light.
You can actually see these now.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. Well, that what place did. It was cool. It was in Canandaigua. There's a bowling alley that has like a laser tag thing in it and an arcade.
Okay.
And so, bumper cars.
But he was really good at aiming through the smoke.
Not really good, but for a 3-year-old, a little disturbingly too accurate.
All right. I have something that I think I need to tell you. You may not like it, but it appears that you are actually raising a stormtrooper.
Yeah, I think that might be heading in that direction.
I'm just putting that out there. I don't.
Can you give me some pointers? Is it too late to reverse this?
If you have any friends who have rebel children, I would not introduce them because that could get ugly really fast.
But should I do it when he's young and maybe he, you know, they'll get along?
I I don't know. I think he's just going to go with you know, the programming and just blast
him. I don't mean to raise him Stormist. It's just happening on its own. It's very, Mike, it's very hard. Do you have a pamphlet? Anything? Maybe a video?
You just better hope he's tall enough. Or he's going to be so disappointed.
Have you seen my fucking son? I'm going to be looking up yelling at him when he's like 10. It's ridiculous. He is the exact size and weight of an average four-year-old. Our doctor just told us that 2 weeks ago. I'm like, God damn it, he's three.
How does that happen? He doesn't eat anything.
I don't know. Maybe he is a breatharian. Maybe he eats when we're not looking. Maybe he eats massive amounts of vegetables for nutrition when we're not looking. I haven't seen the cat in a while, actually.
You struggle to have him eat like just the minimum amount of carb, anything, and then like
carbs are easy because he'll eat pasta and chips and he'll snack.
Okay.
He's been pretty good for a while.
Trouble getting him to eat like mac and cheese, for God's sake.
No, he just really doesn't like the good smoked. If it was Panera mac and cheese, dude, that kid is so fucking picky. Oh my God. Panera mac and cheese, loves it. Wegmans mac and cheese, hit or miss. Good smoked mac and cheese, not having it. It's like, what? It tastes better than Wegmans. What is wrong with you, kid? Anyway, the whole point is, I've had this blue lightsaber. I knew he was going to love it. I wanted to give it to him. It's like burning a hole in my proverbial pocket because I was sitting on it for months. Yes. I bought it before Christmas. I'm like, it's getting too much for Christmas. And then I had it for his birthday. I'm like, I'm not giving it to him for his birthday. So I'm like, ah. So he was having...
Okay, go ahead. Finish your story. Okay. I don't want to interrupt you.
He wanted,
maybe a couple times.
He wanted to go to Target blasters because he did laser tag. And we're like, we will look. I don't think they sell laser tag stuff anymore because children tend to get shot when they use them. but we'll look at Target. But I said, buddy, we're not going to buy anything.
They must still sell laser tag, no?
Not at Target.
I remember they had that like back in the 90s.
Yeah, that's
like
when everyone kept dying. Yeah, they don't really sell. I think you can buy it online. They don't really sell that stuff anymore.
It must have been laser tag stuff that looked too much like real guns.
Well, right? They were black. The guns were black for the longest time. Toy guns were black, even the little orange tip. And then a couple of cops shot some little kids. And then it's like, we need to take these off the market. I mean, I get it.
I don't mean to laugh.
No, it's sad. It's
ridiculous.
But it's also... It's tricky. Because I think I have an unpopular modern view on gun toys. I don't think they are the devil's instrument as much as
many and everyone does.
Everyone does, yeah.
You cannot have a child that plays with toy guns.
Boy, do we, though.
At any...
stage in their career as a child.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking specifically, like, you can't... at, like, the daycare places you go to.
So, that brings up a good point. I still haven't told the fucking story of me giving him the goddamn lightsaber. But, so here's the thing.
I'm determined to not let you do
it's
that.
It's fine. No, we will spend the next 25 minutes diverting my attempt to tell it.
Your son loves blasters, and we've kind of established that. As you're raising a stormtrooper, he has a blaster...
Fetish. Yeah, let's just call it what it is.
Let's call it
what it is. So here's the things that he knows. Guns are bad. Mm-hmm. Blasters are okay.
Because blasters just knock people out.
Blasters or knock people out.
Or they blow up robots.
Robots, exactly. We have very carefully... to me, this is equivalent of the Santa Claus lie. Like, everyone gets on board Santa Claus, making up this whole ridiculous fictional reality around it. We've done that with blasters.
Right.
He knows not to blast people in the face. He knows they can be fun if they don't hurt people, but they knock them out. You know, we have all these rules... we don't have any actual guns in the house, which is very intrinsic to this, because God knows what would happen then.
Right.
You know. Oh, this is another toy.
He would literally find it and want to play with it.
Yeah, and I either mean, kill himself or
that's,
one
that's
of
a
us.
Little bit disturbing.
It is, and I'm not making light of it. I'm saying, that, I mean, the studies have shown, no matter how carefully you teach your children about guns, the statistical likelihood of someone dying from a death by gun goes up exponentially when you have a gun in your house.
Yes.
I have a shit ton of other weapons in the house for home invasion readiness, but no guns.
Okay. You're gesturing to a hatchet.
Yeah, that's just hanging on my wall in the basement. Actually, I wield it when I'm on annoying conference calls. It's like a stress reliever.
Do you really?
Well, it's in a case, yeah. I swing it around. Like, I do katas with it.
You do? Are you like a fidgeter when you're on the phone? Do you have to...
No, when I am on an annoying call.
Okay.
And I used to do this thing where I would hit my head on the desk over and over again. But I stopped doing that, so I have that now. Or I go lift weights. Actually, what's really great is I can go lift weights now. I got there and I'm like, I'm so upset. I'm just going to like do 20 reps real quick.
You don't ever like do like the squeeze ball on your hand?
No, because I'm not an asshole like that. That's an asshole dude. That is a douchebag thing to do.
It is?
Yeah.
The squeeze
it's like
ball?
The Wall Street like douchebag or thing in movies. It's the stress balls. Stress thing, balls. Or the grip. Douchebag. It's got douchebag written all over it. All
right.
So we have a mutual friend.
Okay.
We have a mutual friend with children who have run into some problems at daycare.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of their children has an enjoyment of guns and, you know, aggressive play, right?
And the distinction here, okay, is that your son Simon, who's listening to this years from now,
hello from the past,
has a definite fetish for guns, but is not
blasters
that aggressive.
Correct.
Okay.
And you know what? Let me make a very firm statement about that. To go really it. Go five, derivative statements off of the point I'm trying to tell.
Do it.
Eric and I had this discussion, and we agree on this. And I talked to my aunt, who's like a child psychologist, and she actually kind of understood, I think. Or she was placating, I don't know. But there is this sort of fringy state, or fringy, like, kind of interpretation of the way children play, where boys are not encouraged to be boisterous because the predominant gender of teachers is female. And so the ideal model of a student is not what girls actually are, but the stereotypical girl.
Okay.
Quiet, proper, taking notes, studious, that kind of thing. I'm not saying girls are like that. I'm saying that's what the school system thinks is the ideal student.
Okay.
And it's reinforced because women grow up in a patriarchal society. They are reinforced to be like that, and then they maybe unconsciously reinforce that in the classroom.
We're getting really political here.
No, we're getting really sexist here. But regardless, there is, like everything else, including the lack of climate change, there is science to back this up, right? So I know you can make any argument you want nowadays. But we don't want to deny our son the ability to be boisterous and energetic.
Okay.
But I think we have done a very good job of making him non-aggressive with it. Except with me, and that's that's roughhousing, which there is absolutely some very compelling evidence to show that that's a very good thing between a father and a son.
All right.
Is roughhousing, and there's aspects of that lacking in a single parent, like, you know, a fatherless household. Again, science is everything, right? You can prove any point you want nowadays. My point is, Simon is a very good kid, and we go to a very she-she, you know, daycare. We send him to a very, very upper middle class, if not higher, daycare, right? So
right.
We're kind of setting up there to be this at odds thing, right, with kind of how they do things and how we let Simon play.
Yes.
But
because if he, like, starts pointing guns at somebody or fake guns, that's an instant red flag at the daycare.
Exactly. And we have a friend who has run into this at their yes. kid's daycare. Yeah. But what has happened is Simon is such a really sweet kid, and he is non-aggressive with it. He just wants to play, you know, blasters with other kids and blast robots. Because mm-hmm. We do bad guy hunts, we set up action figures and blast them, and he loves it.
Mm-hmm.
That they have written the rules of his games, rewritten them to be fire hoses.
Fire hoses?
So rather than admonishing him, they encourage the other kids to play too, but they've changed the rules of the game. And I just want to say, like,
fire hoses?
And he's totally for it. When he's at daycare, he plays fireman.
The socio-political implications of that are kind of disturbing too.
Really?
Because, like, fire hoses are what, you know, usually riot police would use against protesters.
Smike.
Again, you are raising your kid to be a stormtrooper, to be a willing cog in the fascist machine.
No, I'm raising him to be a fireman.
That's another way of putting it.
Sure. He's going to put out the fires caused by the stormtroopers.
The quote-unquote fires.
Fires, yes. Yes. I'll give you gender politics with kids. I'm not going to let you get away. I'm not going to agree with nonsensical... yeah, I can't agree with you on that. Anyway, the point is...
Yes, hose those dirty hippies down.
Or put out those fires. But, you know, whatever. So I found this very interesting. But what is really fun, what is really fun about it all is that improv is absolutely training me to be a dad. Because I instantly recognized a long time ago that everything my son does is to try to establish rules to a game and then repeat them.
Ah, so you're always keeping an eye out for whatever game he's got going.
Absolutely. And Erica's really great about pointing out how that applies to other things. If I make up a song, I need to use the same lyrics because he wants to learn them and sing them with me, that kind of stuff. So it's pervasive. But that's a way that a child learns about the world, is through play. I mean, there's a museum of play, I think, somewhere, maybe, that we have a membership to. So that's been really interesting. But it's been funny to me because I've been waiting for someone to have the talk with us. Like, your son seems really into, you know, shooting things. And I'm like, yeah, but he doesn't want to hurt people. It's not that. But it hasn't come up because they're like, oh, well, he's not aggressively doing it. He's not yelling at children, no, you need to die.
Right.
Right? He's just saying, hey, let's blast things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we think blasters because we're nerds or geeks, I should say. But they think, oh, it's water blaster. Okay, so now you're a fireman. And he says, like, yeah, I play with a fire hose at daycare. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I'll fucking take it. At some point, someone's going to pull me aside or my wife or both of us and be like, we're really concerned about your son. And I'll be like, go fuck yourself. My kid's an angel and he can do no wrong. Anyway, he was having a bad day. He wanted to buy laser tag stuff. We were like,
I can't stop you now, can I?
And I said, if you're good and go to Target and don't ask for anything to buy, I will give you a surprise. And we got home and I gave him a blue lightsaber and he flipped the fuck out. Not about the blue lightsaber.
Not about the
tiny little green light up daggers that it came with.
What?
Was the basically looked like the flight directing things at airports. All he fucking cared about.
So the light up blue lightsaber is ignored now.
He rediscovered it today.
Okay.
But yesterday, could not give a shit about it. All he wanted was these two, basically batons. And he wanted us to just hold them. He'd like point them at like his flashlight. So I was like, God, fucking damn it. But today I got I got to fight with my son, me having the red light up lightsaber, me having the blue one. But there was that definite moment of like, son of a bitch. Backfire.
Couldn't derail you that last time.
You saw my asshole segue into Legion.
Yeah.
I'm on it tonight. Drinking makes my segue powers greater.
You were quite overwhelming there. I bow to your powers of segue and storytelling. And I actually
Thank
did
you.
Bow there.
But you did actually. It was a very placating bow too.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? Pressing your arms together, your hands together.
Your hands together? I don't know.
I mean, I wonder if it's a similar thing to the cowboy stance, but like the opposite of that.
Cowboy stance?
Yeah, we've talked about this, right? The most confident stance you can have is the cowboy stance.
Okay.
I've never talked about this?
Yeah, probably.
So you hook your thumbs in your belt loops, and
you drive attention to the crotch.
Well, it's you're exposing all of the soft, fleshy bits of your body.
Yeah, from your genitalia. You're also drawing attention to the crotch.
Well,
I mean, there's no denying that. That's what you're doing.
Okay, I'll give you that. But also, important part of it is hooking the thumbs.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm saying to you is I am so utterly intimidated by you that not only am I exposing my sexual reproductive organs and all of the soft, fleshy bits you could disembowel me with, I am hampering my ability to defend myself by putting my thumb. This is legit. I mean, I was reading a study about it. So I wonder if it's sort of the opposite, like the placating thing of like putting your hands together and, you know, kind of making yourself small and bending over. I wonder if that's all.
Really? Probably something like that. I'm putting the hands together. I'm not going to do anything to you with. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go womp like
it's
that.
It's even. Yes. Hadouken!
Doesn't even work like that. I can't even pull off a Hadouken like this. It's too awkward.
I feel like one of Guile's blades kind of could work like that.
Maybe.
But they're really wimpy. I mean, let's face it, Guile is not the strongest character.
Oh, come on. Flash kick. I mean, that's...
Well, Sonic Boom. But I mean, his, you know, backhanded air thing, he barely did any damage. I loved Guile.
I did too. Why are we talking smack about Guile?
Because he was great. Like Vega. He was like, he did really, he was fast and he had a lot of moves, but he was not the strongest. He wasn't Ryu or Ken. Never understood. What was the difference between Ken and Ryu?
What?
I don't know. I never played.
Are you kidding?
I am not kidding.
Are you fucking with me right now?
Smike, I'm looking you in the eyes. I am touching your shoulder And I'm saying I am not fucking with you right now. They were the most boring characters in the world, and I did not play them.
Ken was all about the flash and the big shit. Ryu was about the purity.
Literally everything you just said makes no sense.
All right. So, Ryu does
Dragon Punch,
and it's like, I think maybe two hits at the most. He does it, and he just wants to hit you.
Okay,
so he wants to get in that punch.
It's quick.
He wants to do it and do it perfectly.
You're saying does not translate to playing a video game, though. I don't understand.
Ken has to show off. Ken has to be more flamboyant with his moves.
Okay.
When he does a dragon punch, he's got to hit you at least three, maybe four times with that. He won't do as much damage as Ryu does. But he's going to make a big show of it. And that's what Ken is all about.
I feel like we just wasted 2 minutes of my life with that explanation.
You said you didn't understand the difference. Ken does everything to be big and showy, but not quite as much damage. Ryu does everything to do like the one solid hit.
Okay. See, you could have said that, and it made more sense in terms of playing a video game. Instead, you have this long diatribe about the fucking philosophical differences.
A philosophical difference! It's the key point, the key difference between their characters.
Speaking of keys, it's like I'm winding the key on the back of your back and winding you up. My
God. It's like, what's the difference between Ryu and Ken? What the fuck is wrong with you, man?
Were fucking white bread, vanilla, boring.
No.
You got Vega, you got Guile, you got all these interesting characters. Why the fuck would you play Ryu and Ken?
Because you want the purity or you want the flashiness.
Or you want any other character. There's like 20 of them.
All right, fine.
Except Street Fighter 1, which is an awful game.
It's pretty bad. It is pretty bad.
And you know where... if you had to pick one place on the planet where you're most likely to find Street Fighter 1 cabinet, where would it be? One type of like store establishment. Where are you going to find
like a store establishment?
Yeah, some kind of retail establishment. Where are you most likely to? I've done empirical research.
Okay, because I was going to say a pool hall, but
that's a good guess. But I would say Street Fighter 2.
Nope. Bowling alley.
Nope.
No.
Laundromat.
Oh, laundromat. Good.
Laundromats have Street Fighter 1. Bowling alleys, pool halls, Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Telling you, I have done extensive research growing up poor, and I fucking laundromats. Got every working version of Street Fighter 1.
And Miss Pac-Man, oddly enough.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, Miss Pac-Man's actually got a cool story. When we went to PAX, Penny Arcade Expo East, it's like the more accessible Comic-Con in Boston. They had the guys who created Miss Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
The National Video Game Museum did a...
Oh, the creator of Pac-Man passed away recently.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He did.
His one slice of pizza guy? But yeah, it was really interesting listening to them talk about how it was a hack and they were trying to like fix Pac-Man. And then the Atari was like, well, we don't like what you're doing, but it's really good. So we're going to buy you. And they described it like they were there in the heyday of Atari. So they were like, yeah, we all drove Ferraris and we had like a fire pole in the middle of our office for no reason.
For making Miss Pac-Man.
It was just gone. Well, no, I mean, that got them started, but it was when like, it was just a license to print money because there was no standardization and like people just spent money on this shit and you could charge whatever you wanted for a video game back then.
Yeah.
Before they like actually tried to fix the pricing for a system. But yeah, it was really cool to listen to them talk. Oh, and the other thing they said that I found very interesting was, and this is absolutely true, all of those early generations of home consoles, Nintendo, Atari,
yes,
they were still using the philosophy of making a game to soak up your quarters.
Right.
No one ever stopped to think, wait, a home console, they don't want that. We need to design games differently. Like, no one thought about that.
Well, that's not true. Because you've got, if you go back even to the Atari console, you have Adventure. Which is the game...
No, I know what it is. I'm trying to think.
Which completely goes against that.
No, you're right. I take that back. No one who is porting an arcade game to a home console... Right. That's what I should have said. I apologize. A lot of these people started out in arcade cabinets. When they ported, they never made a tweak. They never stopped to think, oh, this doesn't really make sense to do this for a home console game. That's what he said.
Okay, I mean, talking about porting games, that's a whole different ball of wax. So when did that even change? Because ports have always been kind of that. I mean, when you go back that far, the ports of games are shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they're awful compared to the actual arcade game. They have like a vague similarity, but when you put the two up next to each other. Maybe in the level design, but the character design is like way off.
Yeah, but we're not talking about any of that. We're talking about replay value and continuation.
Okay, so when did that even change? You know, when did they do ports with the idea of let's make it a different, not coin related system for the home player?
I don't think they ever did.
All right.
I can't think of a game that did that. I think about like a little into the NES time frame, they started focusing on home console gaming more. I think that was the change in mentality, but I can't think of an arcade game that was like, yeah, let's take this arcade game that's built a certain way and reprogram it to work better on a home console. Like I don't think I've ever seen that. Have you?
Not really.
I don't think it's an easy thing to do.
There's been some weird stuff, and we're getting like really esoteric here, but like when you get to the like the Tekken games, the fighting games,
okay,
they would have basically the Tekken arcade game that you could get for the homes for your PlayStation or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then they would also throw in an adventure mode, which would like
inevitably
use the same
sucks.
Engine, but would suck.
It never, yes. Yeah. Tekken did that in Tekken 2, I think.
Probably.
And it was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. They tried to turn it into Streets of Rage.
Yes, exactly.
And it didn't work at all. Yes. Okay. So there you go. So that's PlayStation 1.
Probably. Yeah.
So there's your answer. So Nintendo 64, PlayStation 1 era might be when they started to try to do that.
And it didn't work very well.
But it didn't work. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is arcade gaming didn't translate well to home console because who in their right mind makes an arcade game to not soak up quarters?
Right.
Right? I mean, that's the whole point. I'm just trying to imagine playing like an RPG in an arcade. How exhausting would that be?
It would be weird. Although, I never got into this, but I knew that the Neo Geos would let you... And some of the games would let you, like, save your progress somehow.
So Neo Geo had a giant, like, credit card-sized memory card. And it was a rich kid console. The console was, like, $600, which it still, to this day, is insane.
So this is, to clarify, for people who don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Hey, a millennial might not know what this is, and they might be nerdy.
So Neo Geo was two things. It was an arcade console.
It was Neo
console.
And it was Geo.
Okay, yeah. It was an arcade console.
Right.
Meaning you would, like, go to an arcade and you would see a Neo Geo cabinet, standing cabinet.
And it was not one game.
It was not one game.
Nope.
It would have multiple games.
And it wasn't one of those emulators that had, like, 20 classic games. These were
right.
fairly modern graphically standalone games. You could choose from, like, five or six.
Yeah.
Like Samurai Showdown and
yes.
other games.
Yeah, and you would like hit the button on
the
console to select
button,
which
yeah.
game you would want to play,
mm-hmm.
And it was like they were solid games.
Yeah, they were
mostly.
Yeah. They didn't have a huge library.
Yeah.
Hey, it wasn't the Lynx of the Jaguar.
Right.
Right.
But they were solid arcade quality games.
Fast paced. They were solid. They had good graphics at the time. Yeah.
You could also, if you had a lot of money,
at the time,
you could buy the home version of this Neo Geo console, and you would get basically the same game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was exactly the same.
No, it had to be exactly the same game, because of what you could do. So you could buy, I remember this, it was $600, I remember Nintendo Power making fun of it. By the way, before the internet, Nintendo Power was your one source of cheats in a video game if you didn't have a Game Genie. So Neo Geo, so the huge thing about it that didn't catch on, but in retrospect is still a cool idea, was you could take a game, so let's say you're playing Samurai Showdown with a buddy at home, you could stick this probably 2 megabyte, if that, memory card in, grab your game's data, go to the arcade, and the arcade cabinet for Neo Geo had a memory card slot.
Mm-hmm.
I never did this, I never saw it done. But I knew it was hypothetically possible because I didn't fucking know anyone with that kind of money. I did, but none of them had it. But you could pick up your game where you left off at home with a bunny or whatever at the arcade.
Right.
And that still to this day seems cool to me.
And there would be like some sort of Streets of Rage type games, I guess, where you could jump into your progress.
There was a like a cool martial arty game that was like Samurai Showdown, but that played like that. And the cool thing about it was it had tons of destructible environmental objects. That's what I remember being mind-blowing about it. Was you could just break the environment, and it was so cool. I forgot what it was called. But yeah, Samurai Showdown was good. The girl with the falcon that could like attack you.
Remember that? Oh yeah, she was little great.
Ninja girl.
I liked her. I liked the. I was a big fan of Samurai Showdown too.
Yes, that's the only one I played that I remember.
And my favorite character was Cham Cham.
I don't remember the names.
It was this like crazy feral girl who had a boomerang as her weapon.
That sounds
familiar. And she had like gloves with claws on the metal claws.
On wait, she was basically the kid from the original Mad Max.
Yes, she was. She was totally that. So yeah, she would like whip the boomerang at you and like do crazy damage with it, and then she does a brilliant move where she would like leap across the screen, land on you, and just claw your face.
The feral cat attack?
It's so good. Oh my god.
Did you ever
play? It was so fun to do that.
PlayStation had such a fun. That was the first console.
And the dick part of this move was that she could jump, and this is like for the fighting game nerds out there. Mm-hmm. She could jump so far that you would have to block her from the opposite direction if she.
Holy, she could like.
She could go like and hit. From the opposite side
of what?
You. So you'd have to like be really clear on which side, which way you that's were blocking, crazy. Or you're getting your face scratched.
Right. Was Samurai Showdown one of the games that had an actual directional block button? Like you had to be facing the right way and hit the block button, or did you just crouch?
No. You can't crouch to block a jumping attack
or whatever,
an air attack.
You just
duh.
Go fuck yourself. Did you ever play Rival Schools?
No, I don't think so.
The PlayStation was the first one that had, like, first of all, it had multi-disc games, which I thought was crazy. It's like, this Final Fantasy VII is 4 discs.
Oh, my God.
The scene from Scanners. but, yeah, I had this game. I might even still have it. I fucking loved it. It was a crazy Japanese fighting game with school kids. So, like, one board was, like, a soccer field, and you were, like, fighting in your school uniform.
But it's, like, a two-player fighting game?
Yeah.
Huh. I don't even remember that.
When we're done, we'll go look and see if I still have it. Because I still have a lot of my PlayStation games. Although I don't know how the fuck I'd play them now. I mean, is there even a system that plays them at this point?
PlayStation?
Oh, yeah, because that's... Oh, you have a PlayStation that works.
I have, like, three of them,
probably. And you have fighting sticks.
Yeah.
Ooh, I know what we're doing on President's Day.
Well, fuck that. Let's just break out Guilty Gear and go nuts.
Oh, but you're good at it. I don't... I'll play the Witch. I'll just make your tits bounce. All right. Favorite video game of all time. Go.
Favorite video game of all time. I don't know. It's such a tough call. Borderlands 2 comes to mind, but that's because I've been playing it recently.
It's hard when you're playing something recently. Yeah. You went back to it?
Yeah, I've been...
Did you ever play the follow-up? The one with the gravity stuff?
No.
No?
I did not.
I didn't either.
But man, Borderlands 2, just like it.
Why'd you go back to it?
Because I wanted to like find more of the special weapons.
All right. There, God knows there's a lot of them.
I know. There's like this crazy number.
Did you ever play the expansions, like the D&D expansion and stuff?
Yes. Okay. And I like got partway through. And it was kind of broken for the character I was using.
Oh.
Some of the missions are like get messed up because I was using a character that like triggered all sorts of elemental stuff all the time. And that was like a problem with some of the stuff. All
right.
Again, getting really esoteric here. But yeah, man, Borderlands 2 just hit so many of the right things for me.
It's a
you got like the
pretty great game.
The loot system, which I love. I love getting me like random magic weapons.
When Blizzard makes a game, they have you up on a pedestal. I think what would Smike like from a fucking hack and slash loot game?
And it's a first-person shooter, and you can take, like, whatever first-person shooter style you want. And you can be, like, Joe Sniper that just sits back and picks things off with headshots, or you can...
Zero?
Yeah. Or you can, like, jump in and just melee everything.
Mm-hmm. Do the tank.
Yeah. Man, it's a good game.
So you're sticking with Borderlands 2? You've been gaming for 30 years? I mean, I'm just saying, it's fine. I mean, you're going to at some point hit the perfect game, right? But, I mean, you had previously said the Stanley Parable.
It's so short, though.
Yeah. It's more of a tech demo than a game.
Maybe. But, it's like the blow dart of perfection, you know?
I don't know what that means, but I love it.
It's like it's short and it hits you and you're like, oh, my God, that got me. Oh.
Okay, so a challenge to our listenership, who are mainly ShoreTel employees and our friends. I would love for you to email me or Facebook me or comment on the podcast at buddiesinspace.com/provcasts. Please send us your best situational use of the term. It's the blow dart of perfection. Blank, of perfection, whatever. You don't have to use it that way. I would love to get a picture or at least an audio capture.
Wait, give me an example of what?
It's the blow dart of blowjobs. Huh?
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The blow dart of something.
It's the blow dart of blank.
Blow dart of blank. All right.
Short and it hits you. It's great. It's a great.
All right. So the Stanley Parable is the blow dart of video gaming perfection.
For you.
Yes.
Yes. But you're going with Borderlands 2 as your ideal game. Your desert island game.
My desert island game, yeah, I would probably have to go with Borderlands 2. Mm-hmm. And all the DLC. Right.
Yeah, because there's a lifetime's worth of fucking content there. For the desert island game, I would not 100% go with Witcher 3. Because you can almost never run out of shit to do. So. But Final Fantasy VII still has that, like...
I know. It's like it's still in my mind. But does it hold up?
I don't know. And that's why...
You were talking about getting it the re-release.
Did it ever come out?
I don't know.
I don't think it's out yet. I think it's coming out this year, yeah. Huh. It's episodic. I'll buy it when it's done. I don't like the episodic thing. I did it with, like, Dreamfall, and it really bugged me. So I'm just going to wait.
I did get the new Final Fantasy game. I played it a little bit. PS4, whatever.
16?
16, I don't know.
I don't fucking know. 17, 20, 22, whatever. Hut Hike.
And it's...
Final Fantasy Football?
It's interesting. I kind of like it. There's like this ridiculous element to it, though, because you're always traveling in this party of, I guess, four people.
Okay.
So it's you and these three other...
Do they follow you around when you walk?
It's more like open world.
Okay.
And they do kind of a good job with it, but they don't follow you in a line. It's like you start running and they all just sort of like start running with you, but not like following you. It's like you're all sort of running towards the same direction. And the crazy part is that because of the style of this game, everybody's like wearing like these super stylish suits and ties and
fantasies
and heavy black jackets. And you're like just running through the woods or the desert or wherever, and everybody's like decked out in these nice clothes. And like, come on, this looks so fucking ridiculous.
It's like Krennic walking through the water in his cape in Rogue One that got cut. I'll never forget Phantasy Star back on the Genesis, where it was like remember the old Worm game on like the TI-86 or whatever,
yeah,
or whatever you played it on. Mm-hmm. But like you turn left and then it would trail behind you. Mm-hmm. Like that's what Phantasy Star was. So in the world map,
Tron cycles.
Yeah, it's similar to that. So like you would have this party that would follow your exact move.
Yeah.
So all you do is you just start doing like crazy zigzags because it's funny to watch them all walk.
Yes.
But then you end up in more random encounters because you're covering more surface area. Right. Your movement. Yeah, it was idiotic.
But yeah, the new Final Fantasy gets away from that somehow and makes it look sort of more natural, but also at still the same time more silly, ridiculous. Right. All of these well-dressed young lads just running as fast as they can through the wilderness.
What's your favorite Final Fantasy game? I don't actually know how many you've played.
Not that many. No? I don't know. I have to go with 7.
Okay.
I mean, how do you not go with 7?
Well, I mean, 10 was really good.
I couldn't finish 10.
Really?
No.
Huh?
Was that I didn't play 10-2. The fucking Blitzball game?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck Blitzball. Fuck that game. I hated that.
What,
that
underwater was what three-dimensional soccer? What's wrong with that? Yeah,
that was when I had, like, tapped out. Because I think I was mistaken. I was like, I have to win this stupid game to
advance the story. Advance,
which you didn't, but, you know, nobody told me that. And I was like, oh, fuck, I hate this game. Playing Blitzball is just the fucking worst.
For me, that game, 10-year-old spoiler alert, that game is hilarious to me because it's only in a Japanese role-playing game can you say the following sentence, and it's totally legit, like you're not on crack, when you say, oh, yeah, the big twist is that the main character is the dream of a bunch of ghosts. And that's the big twist of the game. And you're like, what?
Yeah. And I think I read that like after I'd given up on the game. Well, like, it became, are you fucking kidding me? It became me? Kind no. of a meme. Fuck this like, game even more.
Yeah, it's a legit. Yeah, I get that. But the characters are pretty well realized for a PS2 game.
For dreams of ghosts?
Only him. Everyone else is real, Smike. Only one guy was a dream of a ghost. Because Blitzball was in the past. Dream of a ghost? Yeah, dream of a ghost. Yeah, Final Fantasy VII is probably the best. Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books. Jason's been getting some bigger name guests on Comedy Vinyl lately.
The hell?
Yeah. We're slacking.
We are.
We're all our guests you're supposed to get.
I know.
All our Rochester famous people.
Ugh.
Ugh.
I know. It's on me. That's on me.
Yeah, it is on you.
We should have Jeff come on. Talk about trains. He's listening right now.
Oh, does Jeff listen to our podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Jeff, come on our podcast and talk about trains.
Do we have him talk about trains? We could do that.
Well, can we mock him?
No.
Can we mock trains?
Maybe.
Can we be overly excited by trains?
Yes.
Can we sexualize trains?
Oh, yeah.
Then I think we're all set here. You know what? I'll offer this. I know for a fact a lot of my coworkers have podcasts. So here's an open call.
Oh my gosh. Are we doing this? Oh my God. Are we doing this? Are we doing
this? Because we are really running out of ideas. and I'm really drunk. If you have a podcast and you want to do a...
We're doing this.
If you want to do a podcast share or a joint episode, let me know. Either email me at my Shortel work email address.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Or text me or get in touch with me on Facebook, and we will do... I have a nice, comfy drinking room here.
Oh my God, you've thrown the door open.
If I don't know you and or you're weird, I'm probably going to say no. Or I'm busy. I'm sorry, I'm washing my hair that night. But yeah, there's a lot of podcasts out there. We could do some guest spots on other podcasts. It could happen. As long as we can do it comfortably from my own home, because I never leave my home. I'm sorry I didn't put clothes on today.
I'm used to it.
Yeah. You know, you really have gotten a lot better not looking at my penis.
I haven't memorized. I mean, there's not much more information there for me to take in.
You've seen it in every state. I mean, you can only talk about Final Fantasy so much without getting me excited. So, all right, you are...
That's Michael Smith. And you are...
A very intoxicated M. Michael Carassi.
And aroused.
Well, yeah. Cloud. It's the blow dart of Final Fantasy games.
There you go.
Yeah. It really works. It really works very well. I can't...
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll let you have it.
No, it's okay. Shoot me down. No. Blow dart me down, bro.
Not a blow dart, because a blow dart has to be like boom, right there. Short and sweet.
Nothing about a Japanese role-playing game really fits the blue dart analogy. Really, it
doesn't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's fair.
I hate to be the one to tell you. No, actually, I love to be the one to tell you.
Dude, you're blow darting my balloon here.